This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. And you're listening to the DCAU Review, hosted by Cal and Liam, streaming at DCAUReview.com and on your favorite podcast app.
On the mean streets of Gotham City, a new breed of supervillains emerges. But deep in the shadows, old school justice awaits.
I'm the Batman.
The Caped Crusader returns in an all-new animated series. The Batman. You won't even see it coming.
This is it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 281 of the DCAU Review. I am one of your hosts, Cal, and this week it's my turn to be a little bit under the weather. But thankfully, I have a reliable partner, a great brother, a good brother even, and the man that runs our social media accounts. It's Liam. Liam, we are picking up right back where we left off last week as we decided to take a two-week vacation to an Elseworld. And I think last week I mistakenly mentioned that we hadn't visited this world very recently, and silly me, it was one of the ones that we had most recently visited when we covered the Bane episode back that just a few months ago. But nonetheless, we mention it each and every time we talk about The Batman, which was the 2004 Warner Brothers cartoon production here. It's a bit of a unsung series. It doesn't quite get the acclaim because of the it's kind of like being the guy that follows up playing the same position as a Hall of Famer in sports. Kind of known as the guy that replaced the Hall of Famer, so that's pretty much what you're known for, and it's hard to appreciate something on its own laurels. But here, as we're coming up here on some anniversaries of this show originally debuting close to two decades ago, it's nice to see fans are starting to appreciate it, and we have an opportunity to appreciate part two of the episode that we started last week.
That's right. So we have a fun opportunity here to talk about, as we said last week, this show's first steps into the larger DC universe. And we're doing it, picking up literally right where we left off with the joining part two coming at you right now.
That's right. So if you did not get a chance to listen to last week's episode, Liam was playing hurt, but we managed to eke out a nice synopsis and review. We didn't give a full score. We kind of gave our temporary scores where we landed on part one. We'll give our final scores for the overall two episodes this week as we kind of finish out our report card here. So if you did not check out that part one episode, I don't know why you'd listen to part two before part one, but stop what you're doing right now and go check that out and then come back and play this one, because we're going to be talking all about part two of The Joining. Before we get into this episode today, of course, we must remind you that we are going to get the official IMDb synopsis for part two. That's right. That means since we have two parts, we have two synopses for this episode. Hopefully it's a little bit better than last week's episode, because we did not give that the resounding good grade, as is often the case when we get to the official Internet Movie Database synopsis brought to you by The Pod Tower. Head over to youtube.com/thepodtower today and subscribe if you are a fan of podcasts, if you are a fan of DC animation, or if you're a fan of DC animation podcasts. This is the spot for you. We invite you to go over today and subscribe, and not only will you get an entire catalog of episodes by the Tim Talk podcast, which covered every DCAU episode from start to finish in order, you will also get the Jump on the Batwagon podcast, which is currently ongoing, and I believe they're reviewing Superman the Animated Series as we speak, or at the time of this recording. And then, of course, you get a little old podcast by the name of the DCAU Reviews entire catalog as well, all in one central convenient location for your streaming pleasure. That's youtube.com/thepodtower. Head over and subscribe today.
That's right. So this is the synopsis for The Joining Part 2, which is written once again by Jane Espenson and Doug Petrie, directed by Vinton Heck and Brandon Vietti, with music by Thomas Chase and animation once again by Dong Wu. And that synopsis reads as such. Gotham City faces its greatest threat yet, an alien invasion. After failing to save the city on his own, the Batman learns that even the greatest heroes have to sometimes rely on help.
Okay, I kind of like that one. Like, even the greatest heroes sometimes have to rely on help. I like that as kind of a tagline. You could see that maybe on a movie poster.
That's certainly our moral lesson that we take away from this week's episode. But yes, this episode kicks off right where it left off. The massive legion of joining ships have taken to the skies, as we quickly find out, not just over Gotham, but all over the world. And as Lucius, Jean, and Batman are still at Wayne Enterprises from the previous episode, they make their escape after a brief tussle between them and some of the joining drones. We'll talk about this in visuals mostly, but yeah, they got all these. We got like little crab walker guys, we got like mid-level guys, and we got flying guys. And then we have the foot soldiers who look like humans, I guess. So
at different levels. Yeah, it's like if you're in a very much set up like if you're in a video game, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So you got your mini bosses and your grunts and all that. So Jean and Batman and Lucius are able to escape and return to the Batcave, where Batman and Jean alert Robin, Batgirl, and Alfred as to the happenings of the world. Alfred goes over to tend to Lucius's injuries as Batgirl and Robin kind of have a little bit of an existential crisis in that moment, not only learning that they are under attack, the whole world is under attack by aliens, but that they are also being greeted by an alien himself in Jean, who they had previously not known the true identity of, despite him being in the Batcave in the previous episode. So they're a little out of sorts, and as they begin to discuss what they could possibly do, as they see some of the damage being caused on the news all over, again, not only in Gotham, but all over the world. It seems like those skies are turning red, and this is a bit of a crisis, and it feels like our heroes are a little bit out of their depth.
Alien invasion?
Aliens? What happened to robots?
Ah! Alien! Got an alien here!
Different kind of alien.
Hi, John Jones.
How are you so calm, Alfred? Aliens! I think that would warrant at least one of your signature cocked eyebrows.
I keep house for a man who dresses like a bat and works in a cave. At this point in my life, there's little that phases me.
What's that?
Robot head. So 5 minutes ago.
No. It can't be.
More than your city is in danger now, Batman. This is about Earth.
It's the end of the world.
It can't be. It just looks a whole lot like it. We can stop it, right?
If I may, sir. How?
But we realize that all of these devices that the joining was building were, of course, built at Wayne Enterprises and then shipped out all over the world, as we found out last week. So Bruce and Lucius sort of deduce that there must be some sort of failsafe. They always build a failsafe, and the metal that the joining is using to make their ships and weapons is an alloy out of all of these different materials, and with not quite. I don't know how you build a failsafe into a piece of metal. I'm just gonna say that I don't.
Don't think too hard.
Like a certain vibrational frequency that just causes it uh, to fall apart, and Bruce tests that as of course Robin has the little hoverboard that he's floating around on from last week's episode, and they test it, and it comes apart instantly, and so they know they have a way to fight back against the joining, but Bruce realizes that the only way that they're going to be able to actually use this on the entire armada that the joining has unleashed is, of course, I feel like I've said the joining 5,000 times.
Yep, that's, you probably have. They say it about an equal amount for the episode.
And we should mention that the head of the Lucius bot is also just taunting them the whole time.
A very funny twist to this episode.
Yes, yeah. He's just, the joining are so technologically advanced and powerful, even though he's not plugged in anymore, he can just draw power through osmosis, I guess, from the nearby joining ships. So Batman decides he's going to go head back to Wayne Industries because he has to plug in this signal that will into a satellite, which will then send the signal all over the world, and they're gonna Phantom Menace it, basically.
I was gonna say they're also gonna Rogue One it. It's very Star Wars. It's the same. I mean, it's a lot of the same plot in Rogue One. It's mm-hmm. Phantom Menace. They have to head back to where it is so they can shut down, you know, the thing that's controlling. In Phantom Menace, it's robots, and Rogue One it so they can get the signal out. But yes, right. Either way, pick your poison of Star Wars prequel to compare this to, and you'll probably won't miss very far.
That's right. So Batman heads out, of course, Batgirl and Robin very eager to get in on the action. But once again, Batman is keeping them at arm's length, and this time he doesn't even want John to come with him. He tells them all to stay behind, and that he knows Wayne Industries better than anyone, and that he's going to go out on his own. And so he leaves the Batcave, leaving Batgirl and Robin behind, along with Alfred and Lucius. Although we do see that Jean is tagging along, and in the meantime,
he forcibly tags.
Yes, he with the advantage of invisibility and phasing, he's able to hitch a ride in the Batmobile, and they race off towards Wayne Industries. And we get a couple of quick cutaways in this episode. We get the first one here, I think, where we see Commissioner Gordon and some of the other rank and file cops in the streets doing their best to hold off these giant robots, though they're not having much luck in the first scene as Batman and John arrive at Wayne Enterprises, and we get more fisticuffs as Batman and John once again split up and go to try to get this signal out. And we cut back to the Batcave, and Alfred is kind of consoling Dick and Barbara, and he kind of lets him in on a little secret, which is that Bruce and Batman, despite being so driven, despite being you know, the greatest hero Gotham's ever seen, he's also stubborn, and perhaps most importantly, he's not always right. And so Alfred, without quite saying those words, tells them that when times are tough for him, and he feels that that Master Bruce is being unfair, that he does something that always lifts his spirits, and that is to just disobey whatever he told you to do.
Planning repairs, are we?
No point. End of the world, remember?
Besides, you heard Batman. We'd only get in the way.
There are times when I, too, disagree with Master Bruce's decisions. And when that happens, there's something I do that never fails to lift my spirits. I disobey him.
I think I saw a welding torch around here.
So Robin and Batgirl race off to repair Robin's hoverboard. And they're going to head into the city. And we get this wonderful scene, I thought. Back to Wayne Manor. Lucius and Alfred are outside on the balcony at Wayne Manor. It's snowing, and you see sort of the fire from some of the wreckage of the city. And Alfred and Lucius are just having a tea, and they have this very nice little moment. I love that they put this moment in here where Alfred pulls out a photo of the three of them together from when Bruce was a kid. And they mentioned that they took him to an air show, and that just for a moment that day, it felt like maybe Bruce could be a kid again. And he forgot for just a moment the tragedy that had befallen his parents. And it's just a nice moment that they have together as they sort of reflect on this person that they've sort of both had a hand in in raising in light of his parents passing. And then
strangely beautiful, isn't it?
I found a phonograph record that seems fitting.
Good choice. Wagner would have been too...
And I found this.
I'd forgotten this. We took him to the air show.
Long time ago.
I think that was the first day where he forgot. Just a little.
I just counseled two young people to disobey orders. To help if they could. Perhaps we should take the same advice.
I don't think I'm up for any fisticuffs.
There are other skills.
It's probably useless, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
They decide that after Alfred has already encouraged Batgirl and Robin to disobey orders, that they also need to get back in the game and figure out a way to help. And so they're on their way to do that. And we get another cutaway to the Gotham war zone, as we see that the fighting has spilled out in front of Arkham, and we get all of the rogues in action. And they have some unlikely allies.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. It's a very fun scene. This whole episode was very much, I felt, written cinematically. Like I could see this translated to the way that a movie script was written. Very well done. Very different than the first episode, as we'll probably talk about here once we give our scores. But yeah, the entire scene of cutting to the ground. Ground zero, what's happening as the police are doing their best to fight back against these alien monsters that are made of technology. I don't know. They're not robots. They're just technological monsters. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, as out in front of Arkham Asylum, we see the Joker. We see Bane. We also see Penguin, and we also see Mr. Freeze. I don't think I left anybody out, right? It's just the four of those.
Yep.
That we see, but they're all doing their best to defend Gotham. The Joker makes a point at saying that it's Gotham is his town to terrorize and no one else's. So they're united in destroying it. Mr. Freeze really is doing the best at destruction. But as the GCPD pulls up with Commissioner Gordon in tow, one of the cops looks over and asks him, with Freeze out and about, what should they do? And Gordon says that they need to give him cover. So they I love that part. Freeze freezes the giant spider-legged robot thing, and then the police officer shoots him with a bazooka and taking him down. And Gordon just looks over at Mr. Freeze, and they both give each other the classic silent head nod to each other.
Right.
Speaking of cinema, a often loved and used cinematic moment right there. But yes, as the villains unite, and I love that at this point, as they do the head nod, they cut to the Joker, and he talks about how the town has gone mad as the punctuation for that scene. But we get back to the reveal of Batgirl and Robin's disobedience, as Batman is working hard to try and get the satellite working. However, we learn through some exposition from the robot Lucius Head that the joining has allowed, or their takeover is going to prevent the signal from getting out, because they also now control all of the satellite dishes. So Bruce has to manually hack it. Whatever that means. That sounds some sort of, again, movie term. No explanation as to what that means, but he's going to have to, he basically just takes a lightsaber and starts cutting into the machine, from what I can tell.
Signal blocked. No!
We can tap into the Wayne Industries security camera system. Be another set of eyes for Bruce.
Humans. Defiant, even in the face of certain defeat.
Certain defeat? We shall see about that.
If you're referring to the fail-safe signal you hope to transmit, then know your friend was unsuccessful. The joining has blocked it. Like everything else on this planet, the joining now controls the satellite feeds.
Sir?
The signal's being blocked, Alfred.
Lucius believes he can hack into the system and override the joining's control. But you will need to manually override it from your end as well.
That's going to take time. I'm not sure I can override the system and keep these guys at bay.
Then it sounds like someone needs backup.
I told you two not to come here.
That's why we had to quit as your partners.
Yeah, that's right. We quit.
Mm-hmm. Of course, there's a sort of an artificial countdown as we see the joining begin to create these discs across the world that are lining up that are going to, we assume, shoot some sort of sky beam into the sky and destroy the Earth. Hey, they were ahead of the curve here. I don't know of too many movies that were doing the sky beam in 2006, maybe 2007. I don't know. Was there an Iron Man movie with a sky beam yet or something?
I don't think so. I don't really remember this kicking off until like Avengers 2012. So
okay. All
I
right.
think they're so a few years ahead of the curve.
5 years ahead of the sky beams here for superhero tropes. But yes, we have the joining seemingly feeling confident that the heroes are not going to be able to take things over. Going from bad to worse, not only is Batman's process of manually hacking taking such a long time, but of course the joining has breached the room where he's holed up, and we get what appears to be perhaps Batman's doom. But at the last second, swinging in are the aforementioned Robin and Batgirl, who Bruce is none too happy to see, despite the fact that they just saved his butt. But they do recall or do point out the fact that they are no longer his partners. They've quit, so therefore he has no authority over them, which I think is, I don't know what, if they established how old Barbara is, but Dick is still Bruce's ward, I'm pretty sure. So I'm pretty sure he actually technically legally has some sort of guardianship over him. So he does have
that correct
in some way. So we laugh. It was a funny moment. So they're there to save the day. So Bruce gets to going as the attack continues from the joining. Robin and Batgirl do their best to stop the onslaught and are sort of handling their own, but then they get overwhelmed. But just as it appears that Bruce is going to be overtaken at the last second, Jean swings in for the save, arriving from the other side of the building. So at this point, it's Jean and Robin and Batgirl, and they're all taking it on, trying to run defense for Batman, who is working very hard to continue his hacking. But as we mentioned, the joining still almost complete as we get an announcement from the severed Lucius robot head that they are done and they are about to destroy the Earth. And we get yet another sort of artificial countdown here as things rev up. Just as Batman seems to be wrapping things up, a giant spider-leg robot walks into the room. No one to defend it. It's Batman versus the giant spider robot.
We're ready on our end, sir.
Seconds to spare here.
Let's do it.
The end of the world.
Bruce's signal is spreading across the planet. It's looking good.
This has never happened before.
Right, so as we get towards our bombastic finale, Batman, just in the nick of time, is able to, he hacks better. He hacks better, and so it works this time. we see a big blue sky beam, as you mentioned, shoot up into the Wayne Enterprises satellite and connect to all the other satellites around the world. And then a big flash of light envelops the entire Earth. And all of the droids, the robots, the joining, all shut down as the Lucius bot head is quite taken aback by the fact that of all the species that have fallen before the joining's might, that it's humans who bested them finally. As all of the weapons shut down, we see shots of the robots turning off and kind of falling over in the streets.
as Batman, Robin, and Batgirl reunite here. As we may have mentioned, they kind of have their little heart to heart. They've learned to work together as a team, and of course, Bruce also not wanting to lose them more than the fact that he didn't think they were useful as the lesson learned here. And we get just a nice little epilogue where we see the city of Gotham being rebuilt, and we see Bruce heading down to the Batcave, where Jean once again shows up unannounced and asks Bruce about joining a team. Bruce isn't sure that he wants to have another member in the Batcave, but Jean lets him know that actually he wants Batman to join a different team. And before you know it, they're transported up to a space station, and out of the door walks a bunch of guys where you just have to wonder what the heck were these guys doing while the alien invasion was going on. I guess they were just fighting off screen, but we see the Flash, Green Lantern, Hawkman, and Green Arrow arrive as John asks them to join him. And Batman, of course, being always one step ahead, reveals that he's known about this little space station for quite a while, and has been, once again, theme of the episode, he's been hacking their system, as we see the bat symbol appear on all of the various computer screens at once. And he tells John that he's put together quite a league, and it's time to get started. And there's our fade to black.
What? Martians don't knock?
How are things, Bruce?
Good. Gotham's rebuilding.
Not just Gotham. The entire world rebuilds towards a new tomorrow. A tomorrow that would never have come if not for one man who wanted to make a difference. You saved your planet, Bruce.
I didn't. We did.
In the end, you did work well with partners. Perhaps you would be open to expanding your circle.
Sorry, John. I already have two partners. Don't need a third.
Actually, we were hoping you would join us. Let me show you. I've found others. Like me. Like you. The world's changing, Batman. You can go it alone if you want, or step into the larger world and be a part of a greater good.
I've been monitoring your construction here for months, hacking your systems since they came online. I wondered, John, when you were going to tell me about your space station. Put together quite a league. Let's get to work.
Yeah, a interesting way to end it, a cliffhanger. I don't know. I would be interested to know if they already knew that they were picked up for a fifth season, or if this was their way of trying to force the hand to pick them up for another season, or what.
But it felt like a hedge our bets ending,
right?
And I know the head producer of the series, Jeff Matsuda, I believe he left after season 4. So I assume that was maybe the end of the contract, and then they were picked up, but obviously not everyone came back for that last season. So yeah, they certainly they lay the groundwork, but it also feels like this could have just as well been a series finale if it had had to be.
Yeah. Yeah. That would, I think it would have certainly piqued people's interest and left them wanting more, but it wasn't a direct cliffhanger that would have left people unsatisfied in that way. So, yeah. So I guess we can talk about this week's episode and I guess in comparison to last week's episode, I think I not so You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that this episode, based on how the last one was structured, was going to have a lot of fighting and a lot of action. Mm-hmm. But I was actually pleasantly surprised that it wasn't nonstop punching front to or from start to finish. There's actually a lot of dialogue in this episode too. Of course, there is some fun and some neat little action scenes. I think the standout, the best one for me, is the villain scene. That was an unexpected mm-hmm. cameo. I did not remember that part happening. I haven't seen it. I think I've probably only seen this episode one time, and when I did see it, it was probably in 2004. As we talked about, this episode originally debuted in, or 2007, sorry, not 2004, mm-hmm. In May 5th, 2007. So, yeah, I was pleasantly surprised by that scene. That was a nice little throw-in, add-in there. But, we talked about it last week. The premise is a little goofy. It is a little bit derivative of some things, the hive mind type creature that is trying to take over the world, and you only have to defeat the main hive in order to feed everything. As you talked about, the goofiness of how you build in a fail safe to a material, to a metal, was confusing, to say the least. I think what I'm trying to say is, if you think too hard about this episode, it's not good. But if you just sit back and you enjoy it for what it is, and you're able to just kind of enjoy a punch 'em up superhero team up. I guess what I'm trying to say is, this would be a very fun Marvel movie if it was it was in the movie theaters. Don't think too much about it. The stakes, really, while they seem high, they get resolved pretty goofily. There's not a lot that happens. There's not a lot of repercussions for things that happen. Bad repercussions. I guess there's good repercussions because we set up the Justice League for season 5, but it's fine. I think I enjoyed it slightly more than as a whole with both pieces together. I think it's a little bit better than the 5 that I gave it last week, but not much. So I ended up giving it a 6 out of 10. I really like the Alfred stuff in this episode. I feel like they gave him a little bit more dimension. Mm-hmm. I love the Alfred and Lucius conversation. I love the Alfred, Barbara and Dick conversation, all of that. Alfred's really, I think, steals the show. I love when mm-hmm. Dick is pointing out that nothing, that Alfred is unflappable and nothing really bothers him when they're talking about aliens, and talks about how he serves a man that dresses up as a bat every single night. Like, that was, that was great. Like, that was self-aware Alfred. I appreciated that. I think all of that is fine and setting things up for what would be a fun fifth season. They did a reverse sky beam. They subverted my expectations. I felt the sky beam was going to happen, and ultimately the sky beam, they pulled out the Uno reverse card, and Bruce Uno reverses the sky beam down onto the technology. So even 5 years before this would become a superhero movie norm, they were subverting expectations. So that's right. I appreciate that. A reverse subversion there. So overall, I think I'm wrapping up my score here for both parts together. I end up with a 6 out of 10. It's fine in a vacuum. And again, I think if you turn your brain off, you can kind of enjoy it, but there are some weird plot holes and some things that are just kind of silly.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I went a little bit stronger. I went 7 out of 10. I really enjoyed the second part. It is very action focused, but I think that was to the show's credit. I think we got a lot of exposition out last week about who the Martian Manhunter is, who the Joining are, who Lucius is. We have a lot to do. Mm-hmm. So we talked about that. It was kind of an info dump in that first half, but it led to, I thought, a very, very free flowing second part here that brought my final score up to a 7 out of 10. Yeah, I really, really agree. I think Alfred gets some really nice moments here, and taking those time to do those character bits and yes, it's not a, this is a sort of a very frequent Batman motivation of, you know, the more dire things get, the more he pushes people away, because not necessarily because he thinks they aren't capable, because he's afraid to lose his, you know, his makeshift family after obviously losing his real family when he was a kid.
So they, you know, they kind of touch on that motive, that, you know, that sort of eternal Batman motivation there. And then, like I said, gave Lucius and Alfred something to do. And then, you know, teamwork wins the day and the good guys win. So it's yeah, overall, like you said, it's certainly not perfect, but it's a whole lot of fun. And yeah, that ending on the floating watchtower, we'll talk about that in a second, the visuals is a fun little epilogue to end it as well. So yeah, a good solid I think part two picked up a lot of the slack from part one.
Absolutely. Can I hypothesize something here and float this out and see, see your thoughts on this here? So wouldn't, in this scenario, if Batman is facing the end of the world, right? It's the end of the world. They say it about 50,000 times in this episode. If he's telling his partners he doesn't want to lose them, and that's the reason why he doesn't want them involved, but really you're facing the end of the world and it feels like there's no hope, wouldn't you want to spend those, like, what, isn't it selfish of you to not want to spend those last moments fighting alongside your family? Like, you're being apart from them? Or is it like you can't deal with the fact that you're, I'm psychoanalyzing a cartoon character from 2007 here, but I feel like the argument could be made that this is more selfish by not including them in the final battle, because it's not like I'm forbidding you from partnering with me because I don't want the Joker to kill you. Like, it's, I'm forbidding you to partner with me in this instance because I think it's life or death for the entire human race.
I think that's fair. You could argue, as a lot of us do, he's convinced himself that it's actually, he has a better shot of pulling off this one in a million chance if he can somehow slip in quietly, even though he doesn't really try to do that. You're right, it does kind of fall apart if you pick at it too much, but as I said, I think it's just one of those seminal Batman motivations that pops up whenever you start to build out this larger Bat family.
I'm with you completely. I felt like, though, it kind of came out of last week, it was, he just works better alone. He's not embracing team members. This week, it felt like they kind of gave you a little bit of a swerve there where it's like, well, actually, I'm just worried that you might die while you're doing this. And this shouldn't be something that you die doing. But then he's learned his lesson and joins up with a bunch of adult men at the end. I don't know. Very just overthinking, probably, but the things that we do on this podcast. All right, Liam, let's move on to our next category, which will be animation and visuals. I believe you said Dong Wu responsible for the animation again for this week's episode. Let's talk highlights, lowlights, everything in between. Lots of action, as we talked about at the top here. Almost exclusively CGI animated the joining members, especially the big old crab spider guys walking across the city. Did give me a little bit of Justice League vibes of the alien invaders from that episode, with the kind of spiders and the big brain heads. But these definitely had more machine like things, less organic. So that's kind of where the design stopped there. But they're interesting looking. I thought they for the most part fit in with the scenery and the standard digital animation. I think the cell shading and the way limiting the movements that they did kind of camouflage that to the best of their ability. So I don't have too many standout complaints or concerns about that. But lots of fun stuff, lots of punching, lots of kicking, Batman knocking robot heads off. We have Martian Manhunter, Jean phasing through things. And as you mentioned, probably the main event we'll talk about is the final scene where we get the big reveal of the Watchtower and its inspiration. But thoughts on what you liked, what you didn't like for this week?
Yeah, I thought they did a pretty good job of incorporating, we talked about it last week, all the joining robots are CGI, so interworking that with the 2D animation, I thought they did a good job. There's some of the scenes where John is is fighting them in the tunnel at the beginning of the episode, and then in the big battle at the end. I thought they did a very good job of that. I think maybe the standout is those cutaways to the city when we see kind of the battlegrounds of the cops. You know, they kind of step out of the fog and everything's sort of bathed in this orange light from the fire on the buildings, and then sort of stepping out of the fog is Commissioner Gordon with all the cops on horses, and then the sequence later at Arkham Asylum with the villains, as you said, is a great deal of fun. They show sort of like a POV shot of one of the joining, where you see like their Terminator vision as they're staring at the Joker as he fires his little acid gun at them, and then you sort of see it melt mm-hmm. from its own perspective. I thought that was a really cool trick. And then before Robin and Batgirl arrive at Wayne Enterprises, we get to see them and Empire Strikes Back, one of the big scorpion robots, where they tie up its legs and knock it over. I thought that was really neat as well. So I think the battleground Gotham little cutaways are some of the best action in the whole episode.
Yeah, I mean, classic animation stylation choice. That's not a word. Stylation. It's not style choice. Where they gave the burning city and every scene that came after that sort of the orange heavy glow outside as the city seemingly burns, as you mentioned about things starting to turn red and orange, and really gives it that destruction vibe. I love the scene with the first cutaway, as you mentioned, to the police officers as they're doing their best to try and take things down, and they're being overwhelmed, and one of the officers goes to Commissioner Gordon, ask, you know, what are you going to do? What are we going to do? And he says that he already did the best thing that he could think of for help. And there's this pan up to this statue that's leading with it's wearing a hood and has a sword pointing forward. There's probably
the statue of Lady Justice.
Lady Justice, there you
it's
go.
The one that the Joker tries to pop the balloon.
Oh, that's
he
right.
He tries to pass his gas.
That's right. I forgot about the first episode. Man, who could forget? I could, apparently. Yes, the pointing sword, and then with a bat signal lit up behind it. I love it because it kind of gives it sort of like a leading the charge type look. Mm-hmm. The way the statue is pointing towards the joining. So yeah, I really enjoyed that. And then of course, as we mentioned, the surprising cameos from the villains. I really liked that. The scene with Alfred and Lucius on the top of Wayne Manor as they go outside and there's just ash floating from the sky. Mm-hmm. And they both just sit there and kind of have this quiet moment, sort of accepting that this could be the end of the world, but also sharing in this moment that they had and they cherished together of being able to give Bruce one distraction as a child. By taking him to the air show and before deciding that they're going to do whatever they can to stop the joining on their own. So yeah, I really liked that touching moment as well. And then, I think the main event, as we mentioned, leading up to that with the reverse sky beam, I liked that the blue hue that kind of brings everything back to normal and puts the technology and destruction away. But then, the very end scene where Jean touches his shoulder and brings Bruce to the watchtower, and we kind of get the reveal not only of the watchtower itself from the inside at least, and then the members awaiting Bruce to meet him there. But then we get a pan out shot after Batman reveals that he's hacked it, that we have the watchtower is part of a floating asteroid circling the Earth, which happens to resemble the classic Hall of Justice that you might know from Super Friends or the comics or what have you, that's based on a real life piece of architecture. So yeah, that's a, I love that. I loved that little, you know, Easter egg and a little nod to the shows, the cartoon shows that came before them, an instantly recognizable DC symbol there. Overall, I think that the animation for both episodes last week, I had a 7 out of 10. I don't think anything was done this week to take from that. In fact, I think, if anything, I think the action this week really turned up and really impressed me with a lot of the things that they did and just a lot of the little tiny moments and interspersing some of those little fight scenes. And, overall, I ended up giving it a strong 8 out of 10. total for both episodes for animation and visuals. What about you?
Yeah, I gave it the exact same final score of 8 out of 10. I think it's, yeah, really, really solid. Like I said, very action focused second part, really, I think, brought up the average. And like I said, I think those scenes in the city are really the standout action of the piece there. And then yeah, that final shot of the all the bat symbols appearing on the computers as the new Justice League kind of looks on in a little bit of shock and amusement and is great. And then as we alluded to. And I think we've talked about this because we've actually reviewed one episode from season 5 a long time ago. But yes, the Watchtower in this show is literally just the Super Friends Hall of Justice, mm-hmm. Floating on a big asteroid in space. So a great little homage. That's the last shot of the episode is that Hall of Justice floating out there. So a great little visual homage to end the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, great scores from both of us for that. So let's move on to our next category, Liam, which is going to be music. Same composers from last week, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I think music, again, we talked about it in last week's episode, not always at the forefront here, that it does tend to lay low and play more of an atmospheric punctuation at times. But I think this episode, there were several different parts that I thought the music really kicked up. I think the fight scene between the villains and joining forces with the GCPD was punctuated well with some good music. I think the scene where Jean is kind of lecturing Batman on the way to Wayne Enterprises, there's some good scene setting music there that really punctuates at the end when he tells him to buckle his seatbelt. I think the standout scenes though were probably the scene with Alfred and Lucius.
Yes.
Where they sit there and Alfred even mentions, so the music is happening in the scene because Alfred picked a particular record to play on his phonograph, he says. Mm-hmm. To sort of set the music as they stand there and watch this ash floating, and they share this really, really emotional moment about their love for Bruce and their desire to once again kind of rededicate to helping him in whatever way that they can. So that punctuated really well, and I think the reveal of the Justice League in the Watchtower definitely gave me some Green Lantern theme vibes from the Justice League, a very similar refrain to that, the ultimate reveal of Bruce pre-hacking their technology and knowing that this existed, which again, you think about it too hard. He said in the last episode, he thought Martians were not real, but he had hacked Jean's technology months before that. So he was aware that this was being built. Again, don't think too hard. Otherwise, it doesn't make too much sense. But again, that's back to plot. But the music for that scene, I thought, and then the pan out as they reveal the Hall of Justice, I thought that was done really, really well. Overall, I last week my score for music was 6 out of 10. I think I bumped it up a point for this week with everything else. I think that just those particular scenes that were punctuated really well, that Alfred and Lucius scene was done really, really well, and felt very cinematic in the way that it was directed and the way that the music comes in and the choice that they had that the characters were playing the music. I thought I appreciated that. So 7 out of 10, my final score for both episodes for music.
Nice. And I'm just 1 point lower at 6 out of 10. I was at a 5 last week, so mine also came up a little bit. Mostly just for the same moments that you already mentioned there. Definitely the Lucius and Alfred scene stood out as well as you mentioned the moment where we see the bat signals been lit in the middle of the battle. I thought the kind of refrain that plays there as we cut up to the bat signal was a great moment as well. And yeah, a lot of the battle sequences I thought had a bit more of an epic grand feel to it than maybe the normal kind of drum machine basic stuff we might hear in a regular episode. So I thought they sort of jumped up the intensity in a lot of places to match the scale of the story. So well done there.
All right, Liam, let's wrap things up with our final category for this week, which, as always, it is voice acting. So let's talk about our cast characters. Nobody new from last week, so we don't really have to go into full, I guess, rosters of what these characters are known for. But I guess we can talk about the performances this week as a whole and compare it to the two episodes for the week as we go down our roster.
Yeah, just a couple of people that weren't in part one, again, very briefly. But we do have Mitch Pileggi voicing Commissioner Gordon. Very briefly, and we do have Kevin Michael Richardson as his version of the Joker.
Of course, how could I forget?
Yes, but again, both minor roles. But again, as we talked about in plot and in visuals, I think that's some of the most fun stuff in the episode is those little cutaways. So a good job by both of those gentlemen in their voice performances. But again, once again, this week we have Mr. Louis Gossett Jr. playing Lucius Fox and Robo Lucius Head. Once again, I think he does a really fun job in this episode. He doesn't have as much to do this week, but he still, as we said, gets a few nice moments as he's sort of reminiscing with Alfred, and then still has to do some exposition about how the satellite works and how Bruce has to fix it and everything when they're working on it from the back computer at the end. So another solid job by him.
Yeah, I agree. I think I do feel like he got to show a little bit more emotion this week, which was good. Mm-hmm. He still has exposition, but maybe not as much. So maybe that's why it feels a little bit like less like he's reading a laundry list of things that were set in front of him and more he actually gets to show off those acting chops. But as we talked about last week, a respected actor, and I think he pulls off this role really well.
Absolutely. And once again, we have Danielle Judovitz as Batgirl and Evan Sabara as Robin. Again, they have more to do this week. They have the scenes in the Batcave with Alfred, and I think Miss Judovitz gets her reaction to Jean coming into the Batcave is very funny. And then the two of them just kind of reacting. They have a little bit more range to show. Both as sort of they're kind of spazzing out when it's first happening, and then they're sort of overwhelmed by it. And you know, she when Batgirl asks Bruce to turn the news report off when it looks like kind of all hope is lost, and they're so dejected by everything, and then when they kind of regain their fire after Alfred gives them the pep talk, and they tell Batman they've quit and that they're going to go it their own way because if he won't let them help them. So I think they get a little bit more to do, and they do a good job.
Yeah, I have no complaints about either of their roles. I do feel like they were a little bit expanded. I like their interactions with Alfred. We still get them goofing off a little bit, some quips. But not quippy to the point of being annoyed. So yeah, solid all the way around for both of them.
And once again, we have Dorian Harewood returning as the Martian Manhunter. And I feel like, honestly, I think he gets less to do this week. Sure. He's more, Jean is more of kind of the tip of the spear. He spends most of his episode punching things.
Mm-hmm.
He does give Bruce a little lecture about needing to learn to trust his partners and learn to work together, because the only way you're going to beat something like the joining that's so in sync, that works together so well, is if they also work together so well. But not as much for him to do this week.
I do feel a little bit more confident. It felt a little bit like less like I was listening to War Machine this week, a little bit more like John Jones. I think the pep talk that he gives Batman in the Batmobile was the kind of the shining moment that he gets. But as you mentioned, sort of a reduced role, definitely not as much dialogue or exposition, and maybe for the better, because he didn't have to kind of do some of that silly talk that we mentioned in that scene in the diner last week.
Absolutely. And before we get to our Batman, of course, as mentioned, Alistair Duncan as Alfred, maybe our second favorite Alfred that we ever talk about on this show. And as you mentioned, he's kind of the emotional core of this episode, both, his interactions with Lucius, his interactions with Dick and Barbara, and then, of course, his interactions with Batman. he provides kind of the whole heart and a lot of the motivation for our, you know, for some of our heroes, including himself and Lucius, to get back in the fight when things look dire. So unsurprisingly, perhaps a great job by Mr. Duncan again this week.
No, absolutely. He's the backbone of, I feel like, this show a lot of times, especially for those earlier seasons where you didn't have a Robin or a Batgirl to bounce the Batman dialogue off of. This episode, he could have easily been shifted into a non-existent role. For this episode, I feel like he was a little bit pushed towards the back in last week's episode because they didn't have as much for him to do. But he really shines this week and really shows off those chops and shows why you know, he continues to be cast in that role in even today in some of the more recent DC animated properties. So yeah, great performance from him. Again, emotional beats, really solid. I love the scene where he's encouraging Robin and Batgirl to disobey. That was really strong. And then of course, the scene with him and Lucius drinking tea together was, I think, the scene maybe to point to for if I was looking to show somebody that Mr. Duncan's acting chops as Alfred. It's a pretty worthy scene, I'd say.
Absolutely. And then of course we have our Batman, Reno Romano. You know, I gotta be honest, again, you know, it's such an action focused episode. I feel like the only real bit of acting he gets to do is in that moment, which we've already discussed a lot about, you know, him sort of revealing that, oh, it wasn't that I didn't trust you, it's that I was afraid to lose you and all of that. That he doesn't get a lot to do in this episode other than kind of, you know, deliver that, you know, I've got to hack the reverse the satellite's polarity to stop the code from going into the virus, or, you know, all the technological double talk.
Yeah, it's not a lot for him to do other than maybe the heart-to-heart between him and Jean, I think is solid. I think the heart-to-heart that he ultimately has with Robin and Batgirl is okay. And then the reveal at the end where even though he's still not open to adding more team members or adding more partners, the reveal that he has kind of changed from where we were at the beginning of the episode to now being more open to having partners as or allies, if you will, in fighting crime. I did feel that in that scene and in that performance. But overall, yeah, not a ton for him to do in this episode other than just kind of respond to everybody else.
Absolutely. So for all those reasons, I think the strength maybe of Mr. Duncan's performance brought up our average a little bit this week. Last week I was at a 7 out of 10 at part one, and I think my final score here just came up just 1 point to a 8 out of 10 for my final voice score.
Yeah, that was exactly what happened to me as well. I end up with an 8 out of 10 as well. I think based solely on Mr. Duncan's Alfred and you know, just the expansion of that character's part in this two-parter was important, and it was good enough to bring that score up. So all right, Liam, let's drop our final scores. So totaling everything up again, last week's scores were not official, so those were our kind of resting holds for our scores. This week is our finale, is our ending, and we list our complete and final scores. So my final score for this two-part episode, totaling everything up, ends up being a 29 out of 40. So that's a, for those keeping score at home, a 4-point increase across the board from where we were sitting last week. So this week's episode did improve that score for me. What about you?
Yes. And I also ended up with a 29, even though we didn't agree on every single score. The average ended up evening out there at the end. So, I think I ended up a couple points higher than my last week as well. I think, you know, it's difficult to talk about rewatchability with these Elseworlds because we don't watch every episodes of these shows. So we don't really talk about them traditionally. But if this is if I was going to visit or revisit this show for the first time in a while, would we recommend this one? I think there's a lot of fun, and if you're going to watch anything in the last season, this is kind of a big setup, as we mentioned, for that that final sort of, you know, almost all team up season of the Batman. So it definitely, it's a building block show. And it's, as we said, it's kind of significant for being the first time that, that this Batman took any steps towards that larger DC world. We didn't really know. I think they had name checked Metropolis once or twice, but we had never seen another superhero or heard of any. So it wasn't really clear exactly what was going on in the outside world outside of Gotham City. So it's definitely significant for this series.
Yeah, I agree. I think in a vacuum, if you're looking for an episode to watch, it's important to introduce you to season five, especially going from just Batman fighting crime in Gotham to all of a sudden he's teaming up with really a Brave and the Bold style team up every single week. So yeah, I think it's recommended viewing if you're looking to delve into this series and to really understand kind of what they end up doing in that final season. Yeah, I'd give it a thumbs up. I'd give it yeah, go ahead and watch this. It's, as we talked about, plot wise, if you look too hard, it begins to be a little silly. But again, most superhero fare these days tends to be in a similar vein, and lots of people make those corporations large amounts of money when those movies come out. So it's not all that different. So you may enjoy this one if you just kind of sit back and enjoy the fists and the light-hearted storytelling. Thank you, everybody, for tuning into this week's episode. We appreciate your support by tuning in. We would love your support a few additional ways if you care to. A couple of those are some free ways, and they include following us on social media at DCAU Review. Not only do you get some previews of what we're reviewing throughout the week, but you also we join in on conversations about stuff that's DCAU related, whether it's new merchandise or prints or comic books or lots of other fun stuff. So follow us at DCAU Review, both on Instagram and the website formerly known as Twitter. We are both there. You can also, if you want to support the podcast, you can check out the show notes, and you can we have a link to directly support us monetarily if you want to support the podcast that way. We do have some people that do that every single month. We appreciate it. That money goes towards some coffee for Liam and I for our day jobs. Helps a lot. Greatly appreciate it. You can also check out the store link in our show notes. That will allow you to get a piece of merchandise if you want to support the pod that way. Liam, another great way is to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app. And of course, you can find us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. And one of the main ways that you can support us is to leave a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you listen on. But the Apple Podcast ones are pretty sure the only ones that let you leave kind of like a paragraph synopsis of what it is that you like about the pod. And we've had a couple in the last couple of months here that really just floored us, and we appreciate seeing those. So why don't you go ahead and share our latest review?
Absolutely. So this is from A.E. Ristic is the username. We thank you for it. And it was a 5-star review. We only read the 5-star ones. just kidding. But, I mean, not kidding. We're only going to read them on the air. We'll read all of your reviews, but only read them on air if they're 5 stars. Anyway, their review says, "Been listening to Cal and Liam, great name, I agree, for a few years now. Other DCAU podcasts have faded or failed, but they are still going strong. It speaks to their commitment, but I also think it speaks to the format. They specifically highlight elements of the episodes which are often given passing mentions in other podcast reviews, and that makes them stand out as a podcast trying to celebrate all aspects of the creative team. Their alternate universe episodes and character spotlights are also excellent and entertaining, and I want to give special attention to how they consistently maintain focus on the episode topics where other podcasts often wander into tedious tangents about nothing. Great work all around, guys." Thank you very much. Once again, that's A.E. Ristic. Wow. If that's you, if you're hearing this, and you'd like to reach out to us either on Instagram or Twitter or Threads, you can reach out to us, and we'd love to. And if you're in the continental U.S., we would love to send you a little gift or something. So you can tweet us publicly, or you can send us a DM or whatever you'd like. If you'd rather reach out privately, but we'd either way, we wanted to thank you on the air, but we'd love to send you a little something as well. So reach out if you so desire. But we really appreciate that review, and you know, we love doing this show. We love doing it together. We've talked about that before, but the fact that it resonates with some other people, other like-minded fans like ourselves, is it's just icing on the cake. And it's always nice when someone takes the time to rate and review us like that. And as Cal mentioned, you can you yourself could do that if you would like, and you can just head to your podcast app of choice and give us 5 stars and leave us a review, and we'll read it out on the show. So we thank you very much for our latest review.
Absolutely. We also know that that's time invested, so we appreciate that. The fact that you took the time to do so means the world to us. And then you said a whole bunch of very nice and kind things about both of us. Thank you, person who I assume's name is also Liam, or perhaps you have something special in your life named Liam. But yes, thank you so much, Liam. This Liam, our Liam, my brother Liam. We're headed home.
That's right, Cal. And in fact, it's time to head to the future.
The future, Liam?
That's right. All the way to the year that's 50 years from now, whenever now is. That's right. It's time for a few more weeks of Batman Beyond. And not only Batman Beyond, as we know, that means it's also the time to revisit the Zeta Project. But we'll get to that in the coming weeks. Next week, it's the Batman Beyond episode, Big Time.
Well, it'll be fun as we head back to the future. But until then, I'm Cal.
And I'm Liam.
And we'll talk to you on the next episode of the DCAU Review.
Bye-bye.